Okay, but when he died, his adopted son decided to take the church in a new direction. He tried to reform it. And what happened? A huge split. They split. And splinter groups formed off to think that Herbert W. Armstrong was, he was Elijah, which was to come. He was the prophet of the end times. And there he lies, moldering in the grave. He did not restore everything. But look it. Still, the example comes where someone wants to bring in a little reformation. And the rip is made worse. The holes that were there, they tried to patch it up, and the thing, whole thing was ripped. You don't force that issue. That's not how to do it, you know? You start fresh. So I don't come in trying to reform other churches. I don't come in trying to, it's wrong. You know, it's not the right way to do it. That's not the proper thing to do. You start over. That's what I'm doing. I'm starting over. Because I realize I can't put this new wine into an old bottle. It's not the way to do it. Verse 18, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Verse 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. That word is the Greek word from which we get our word hemorrhage. Haemorrheo. An issue of blood 12 years. Came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when, verse 23, now that's a parenthetical verse, is verse 20 through 22. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house, he saw the minstrels of the people making a noise. Minstrels and the people making a noise. And Jesus said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof, hereof, went abroad into all the land. It raised the dead. The first time, a girl who had just died. He would do greater things and raise those who had been dead for a long time. So what do we have here? What can we glean out of these miracles? Again, these things are to testify to people that he had authority over life and over death. You know, the woman had the issue of blood for 12 years of her life. You know, a lot of people think of the this is not the same woman as in Mark 5 and Luke 8, which is a woman in a different... Again, like I said, people would look at this and see, oh, there's another woman who touched his garment in Mark 5 and Luke 20, but the story's different. And they think, oh, a discrepancy. Yeah, it's a discrepancy because it's a different story. Remember, Jesus, this life of Christ in 28 chapters, if you were to read it from cover to cover, it would only take you an hour or two to just read it straight through. His life was longer than an hour or two. His ministry lasted a couple years, at least. According to the book of the Apostle John, you have a lot of time factors. You can figure out that there's a certain amount of time that goes by. A certain number of cycles of feasts go by. So it wasn't just a few hours or a few months. Like in the books of Matthew, it almost seems like a week or so, maybe, you know. Because there's so little time factor given. It's just thing after thing keeps happening. Because it's all pieced, his life is sort of put together into a narrative that is designed not so much to be history, but to be a delivering of doctrine. And the miracles are included because they are to punctuate things about Christ. He had power over sin, over life, and over death. The woman whose life was afflicted with this issue of blood, her life flowing out of her, but still alive. He had power to restore her whole again. By thy faith hath made thee whole. Well, it's power, but her faith in doing, what was her faith? Again, it was a work to touch or a work to believe, but God giveth faith. And faith is what leads us to the promises of God, to believing in them, I should say, because it is belief in God's promises of what his power can do and what he intends to do for us as Christians in this religion. It is by faith in these promises that we obtain the things God has declared that we should have. That's so important. That's why the faith is always emphasized. Because you can see an issue of blood. You can see the dead get up. But what about your sins? They go away. And I tell you what, others cannot see it so much as it. You will see it in yourself. The changes that come about in the heart. And the changes that come about in the behavior. That is what Christ does. His power to turn us from death to life, from iniquity to righteousness, from ungodliness to godliness, from total incontinence to self-control, from malice and wickedness to virtue and honesty, sincerity and truth. So this girl, and notice, I like what he says in verse 24. He says, give place for the, she's not dead, but sleeping. In the New Testament, they speak of death as sleep, because death is like sleep. And it is described in the Old Testament that when men die, that their thoughts perish, the memory of them is forgotten, they have their evil in their mouth, it's all gone. And they are described as being unconscious. And the New Testament also describes them as unconscious. I know some people are going to think of examples otherwise. We'll get to that. If you ever like question me, when I get to Luke 13, make sure you go Luke 16. Listen to Luke 16, Lazarus and the rich man. It's a parable. You haven't understood. They sleep. To God, it's like sleep, because he will waken them again. That's why Paul talks about it. It is but sleep. They sleep. They sure look dead to me. Yeah, well, you know, they're dead. But we're going to look at it as sleep, because God will raise them up again. They get up again. He doesn't say, well, she's not dead. She's just not home. You know, she's not dead. She's in heaven. I'll call her down for you. Maid, come down here. That is the analogy of death is sleep. There's an analog there. The unconsciousness and dreamlessness of sleep. That is what death is likened to in the doctrine of Christ. And they laughed him to scorn. Sleeping, you fool. She's dead. Deader than a doornail. They laughed him to scorn. They laughed at him. Sleep.